Well, good morning to you. A God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We are teaching verse by verse through the book of Galatians. I would just ask a question of you to think back in your mind, you who go to church, you who gather in the Lord's house, how many times have you heard preaching out of the book of Galatians? This was the source and foundation of the Protestant Reformation. This book, Martin Luther said, he was married to the book of Galatians. Now, we have just started, and you know, we ended last week, Paul saying, God damn those who preach another gospel, one that is to those who are troubling the brethren. Adding agitation, causing to question their relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel of Christ, which is grace, unmerited favor, and peace from God. Why? Because Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And that ninth verse where we ended last week, it says, as we have said before, so say I again, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be, King James cleans it up, accursed. The Greek word is anathema. It means God damned. Paul in the 10th verse says, King James, pretty weak. For do I now persuade men or God? He's not trying to persuade men or God. He's not trying to persuade God. A better translation. Well, let me give you a few. You know, I can't tell you how many different Bibles that I employ in order that the words of Scripture might be effective. Weymouth's translation says, is it man's favor or God's that I try to gain? Or am I seeking to please men? If I were still a man pleaser, I should not be Christ's servants. Knox says, do you think it's man's favor or God's that I'm trying to win now? Shall I be told now that I am courting the goodwill of men? If after all these years I were still courting the favor of men, I should not be what I am, the slave of Christ. And another translation says, does my language now sound as if I were canvassing for men's support? Whose support do I want but God's alone? Do you think I am currying favor with men if I still sought men's favor? I should be no servant of Christ. That's Paul's beginning of the reason he uses such strong language in that 8th and 9th verses. I was reading a commentary, believe it came from Ellicott. It says, if my present conduct was really that of a man pleaser, should I be something different from what I am? Hear this, all ye who vainly hope to keep in favor both with God and with the world. And let all those ministers especially observe it, who either alter or conceal the doctrines of the gospel for fear of displeasing their hearers and to gain popularity. Hey, it's not a popularity contest, folks. If God has given you ears to hear, I hope this day the words spoken here have some effect in understanding the relationship that we now have available through Jesus Christ with God our Father by grace, unmerited favor, and peace. Cessation of againstness. God is not troubling us. God is not agitating us to a point of where some of our faith might be doubted. Paul goes on to say, but I certify unto you, brethren, that the gospel which I preach, which was preached of me, is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ uncovered the gospel to the Apostle Paul, to one who is said in another place, one born out of due time. He was not a follower of Jesus Christ in the flesh. I'm going to go on and read. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and it profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, of the traditions of men. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace alone, nothing Paul did here, folks. When it pleased God, who called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, to uncover his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, among the Gentiles, among the nations. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, look, what's being said here? Paul went into the desert for 3 years and was taught personally by Jesus Christ. Now we have some understanding of Paul's breadth of knowledge in the Word of God. from much of the Old Testament. And the meanings thereof. We've said it so many times here, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and Paul, better than any of his day, was called to make known the true gospel. It says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the brother of the Lord, the so-called brother of the Lord. We're not getting into that at this time. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterward, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they heard only that he, which persecuted us in times past, now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Now, I have titled this series on Galatians, A History of the Perversions in the Church. Where does it begin? Let's go to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. And it opens and says, and Paul's into Antioch, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So now what we're going to enter into is an outline or summary of the first church council. Now, our homepage, we say, Jesus saves without the buts. So let's go to the fourth verse. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Faith is the word, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Now, what Peter is describing is He was called to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter refused to go. It's not me. I'm not going to the Gentiles. And in a vision at night, God showed him, and I'll get through it close, you know, don't call unholy what I call holy, what I, God, call holy. And Peter relented, and he went, and he preached, and they did receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, receiving the Holy Spirit doesn't make you perfect. You know, it's testified that the Holy Spirit will testify of Christ and what he did. That is, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. So that which had from Adam and Eve's time separated us from God, sin, that is, coming short, that is, not trusting God, separated us from God. But now, that which separated us has been taken care of by Jesus Christ and no other. And he saves and no other. So let's just continue. Peter goes on to say, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts. How? By faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God and put a yoke upon the neck of these of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He's talking about the law. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. Notice, it doesn't say what miracles they had wrought. It says what miracles God had wrought. Who gets the credit? It's God, folks. If you're looking to get credit with God, God help you. That's all I can say. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now, who's this James? He is, because of a somehow so-called blood relation with Jesus, he's the head of the church of Jerusalem. Now, listen. You know, I had dinner with a friend the other night and spoke of how I was starting this series, and you know, I gave her the title and said, you know, a history of the perversions in the church, and the response was, oh, that all comes from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was never even heard of at this time, folks. I'm talking about the Roman Catholic Church. It started long before the perversions that are found not only in the Catholic Church. And the one speaking to you today, I'm born and raised a Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, first lay minister in my parish back when that first was originated in the Catholic Church, able to read the epistles and give out communion. Not because I was perfect, for sure, but even at that time, there was a faith in me, gifted to me, that I wanted to pursue a relationship with God. But the perversions that are found throughout the church didn't start with the Catholics. Didn't finish with the Catholics either. I don't care how you identify yourself, Baptist, Episcopalian, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, non-denominational. These perversions started way back because the apostles, by Peter's own testimony, thought, the gospel is only for the Jews. And they thought to make Christianity but an add-on to Judaism, to the law of Moses. Now let's hear what the head of the Church of Jerusalem had to say. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon, Peter, has declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles and to take out of them a people for his name." To this agree. The words of the prophets, as it is written. After this I will return, and I'll build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I'll build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up. And the residue of men might seek after the Lord,